This is Rod Peterson on Demand. Now,
we welcome to the bunker a very longtime friend of ours, Al Murray, the assistant general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Your Lightning won last night, Al.
How about that?
Hockey is the toughest sport for the top team to win the championship. Because we really have had high expectations for about 5 years now. We've been to one Stanley Cup final. We've been to two other Eastern Conference finals. And I think that's the expectation of everybody in the organization. And anything less than Stanley Cup will be disappointing for us this year.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, we're live. Hi.
Hey.
Welcome.
Just been sitting here hanging out.
Quick little wardrobe change. You should have had a camera on Dupes in the break. He was jumping here and there. I left my mic in the bathroom. My earpiece, sorry, in the bathroom. Woosa.
Yeah.
Focus. I watched episode 10 of Cobra Kai last night. There's so much life advice in Cobra Kai. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Focus, reach down for the good stuff. You got to watch it. It'll change your life. Karate, I think, is what it is. Not so much Cobra Kai. Mm-hmm. But my wife said to me last night, you understand not everybody watches Cobra Kai. I said, I don't care.
Yeah.
Maybe they should.
They should. That's why we talk about it, because they haven't been watching.
Yeah. I was getting a little hot under these lights. The bright lights of our life. So I ditched the Blue Jays bunny hug and put on this Newfoundland Growlers defending ECHL champion golf shirt that they sent me. Feels a little better. Blue Jays go to win the World Series. That thing's going to be real hot.
Oh, yeah.
By the time it's done. Before we bring in Hayden and Cale Fleury here, looking forward to that. It's one thing to get an NHL player on your show. It's another to get a two-banger, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming in next segment, and then Jim Lang to talk Blue Jays. What time you got Jimbo booked for? That's right. So it'll be a shorter segment one to get to Jim Lang on time. I got you. Let's do a re-up on our quick six show topics, okay? Thank you, Director Jordan, who, by the way, I watched last night iRacing at Talladega. I watched. You're welcome. I noticed.
Was that overtime or the playoffs?
Which you one? Didn't. Look, it took me to Talladega for a while. Number one, Tampa Bay wins the Stanley Cup. Good news is that Tampa won. Good for them. Bad news, it's the last NHL hockey we're going to see for a while. And I'll let you know what I hear. Right now, I'm not hearing anything. Maybe Hayden and Cale Fleury have some news on that. We'll find out when they join us next segment. Point two, other than they expect that they will play, it's not a CFL season cancellation thing. They believe that they'll play. They want to follow the NFL model. But an outbreak with your Tennessee Titans today, that's the breaking news. Have you been looking into that?
Yeah, not as much since we've been on the air. But, closing the facility down, they're really talking. Sorry, as I just try and pull up it.
Just from memory. Tell me from
Paul
memory.
On Twitter, but they're going to, not be at the facility. They're working remotely, so they're not practicing, but they're doing their meetings, is what I understand. And then they're looking at all options. Now, this game is supposed to be Sunday against Pittsburgh. Sounds like that's likely not going to happen, especially if they can't be in the facility until Friday or Saturday. You can't put it in the week's work. So there's talk about potentially having the game on Tuesday, which would give them the same lead time for the following Sunday as if you were playing on a Thursday night. So at least that's kind of part of the NFL's mandate. If they play Tuesday, they could play again the following week. So we're monitoring this kind of closely, and the NFL is too.
I'm glad I asked, because I just assumed they'd forfeit the game. That's what I thought the provisions would be. If an NFL team had an outbreak, they would forfeit that week. Because it's not like baseball where you're going to play a doubleheader down the line.
No.
Obviously.
And you can. And Minnesota has, not at the facility today either. But we understand there's no positive tests in Minnesota, just in Nashville.
Point two, Blue Jays playoff game day. We've covered that. Initially, I didn't like that Matt Shoemaker is starting. I thought you go with your ace in game one, which would be Hyun-Jin Ryu for the Blue Jays. But skipper Charlie Montoya wanted to give him a little more rest. Matt Shoemaker's 4-0 against the Rays career, despite having a bad year. It seems to me like they're just giving him game one and taking their chances on game two. We'll see. We'll all be watching. Mm-hmm. It's around a 5 p.m. Mountain, first pitch tonight. Monday Night Football. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Kansas City over Baltimore, 34-20 last night. I didn't watch any of it. I was watching the Stanley Cup. Watched a little bit of it this morning on the replay on ESPN2, and it looked like a really good game. You didn't watch it either, though, you said.
No,
there's
going
to be a lot of football to watch. So.
There is, and the Stanley Cup Finals, Game 6, so much more important for me.
There'll be a lot more football to watch, and neither one of these were our teams. That's the other thing, right?
Yes.
There's only so much you can watch. Point four, Justin Dunk reporting yesterday that the CFL has already been talking about who their next commissioner is going to be. He reports that one name that's come up is Ken Darrett. He's not saying it'll be Ken Darrett, but if they're talking about it, the time is ticking on Randy Ambrosi, which I believe is unfortunate because I don't think he's the problem. In our pregame meeting today, I said to the guys, would you want to be the commissioner of the CFL in answer to these guys, the revolving door? It was Clark that said, why would anybody want to be the GM of the Cleveland Browns? They want the challenge. So, of course, somebody will take it. He also brought up the paycheck of $750,000 plus bonuses. That ain't bad either. But I also like peace of mind. I wouldn't want the job.
No.
They're impossible to please. I don't care how much money in the world there is. Not interested. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, writes in and says, both a Steelers player and coach told me they initially were told the game was super unlikely, but they were just told, no, it's back on, which means everything could change. Thank you, Craig Smith, our director of scouting. He is reporting from home. I love it. We're all about team around here. See, I just thought they'd cancel the game. Sounds like they may still.
Yeah.
Would we be shocked?
I wouldn't be shocked if they... I'd be shocked if they played Sunday, to be honest. Especially if there's more distractions and if this lasts a couple of days and they can't get on the field. Yeah.
We're having Caliber Coffee this morning. I'm drinking it out of a Trinity Western Spartans mug. And Katie Fleury has written in and said, where can I get the coffee in the background? She's talking about what's over my shoulder there. What would you tell her?
Go to the Caliber Coffee website, and it has all the coffee shops that brew their coffee and sell it. And then you can buy it right from Caliber. Or there's a couple of select grocery stores that it's in, too.
DG in Saskatoon writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line, and he says, morning, gents. I'm going to pump the brakes on this new potential CFL commissioner Justin Dunk brought up. Didn't the San Diego Chargers move to L.A. because of how poor fan support was? Isn't that like bringing in the head marketing guy, the Hartford Whalers or Montreal Expos? No! It was not because of fan support in San Diego. I've been there. They sold out the stadium. They moved because they couldn't get a new stadium, and the city of San Diego would put no money into a new one. Now, was it shady? It's the Spanos family, right? What they did? Yes. They have a tremendous brand in San Diego, believe me. So no, it's not. That's not a thing. Actually, I was going through some old photos of old sports trips that we've done, and Qualcomm Stadium is just a thing of beauty. But old. Mm. Really old.
And that's the day and age we're in, right? New stadiums. You've got to have all the amenities.
You need a new shiny toy.
You need it.
DG goes on to say, the power rankings are right about the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks defense is terrible with a capital bleh. They're giving up 497 yards per game, worst in the NFL. Ouch. That's from DG in Saskatoon. Yeah, but. I'll be a member of the yeah, but crowd. They're 3-0. They're not the Dallas Cowboys, who may not be giving up as many yards. It's the timing of the yardage, not the total yardage. Okay? Not covering Tyler Lockett.
Yes.
That's the problem. That's what's cost them games and bad coaching, fumbles.
What is it?
What?
Green, you play to win the games, right?
Yeah.
Did you watch the game or did you just look at the stat book, right? Did you watch the game or did you just look at the stats?
Boom. Point five, NBA Finals, Heat versus Lakers. I will only be watching for Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal. That's it. And they better be on. They're going to be on, right? Okay, that's what I'll be watching because there's nothing else on. Normal NBA playoffs, I'm watching. I need a crowd to enjoy the NBA. Sorry. And point six, what's next for sports? We've covered a lot of that today. I'm not going to do it right now. And by the way, man, last point I had written here as a star. Should you lose your job in a bubble play era? We kind of dabbled in this a while back. Didn't matter to the Washington Capitals who fired Todd Reirden. Didn't matter to the LA Clippers who fired Doc Rivers yesterday. And it looks like it doesn't matter to the CFL who we're hearing are going to fire Randy Ambrosi. And all that is that's sport. It's cold, it's unjust, and it doesn't necessarily do what's right. It's what have you done for me lately? You've all heard it. Here we are.
It doesn't matter what the adversity is. There's adversity all over the place. You need to have results. And if the team, an organization, or your business, or your franchise doesn't feel that you're the right guy for the next year to put your team in the best position to win, you're going to lose your job. It's a cutthroat business, and winning is the measuring stick.
Hang on. We'll pick this up later. We need to break because Cale Fleury and Hayden Fleury are ready. And we don't keep NHLers waiting long. Hayden of the Carolina Hurricanes, Cale of the Montreal Canadiens. Two brothers are going to join us next in a 3-on-1 interview. Stay tuned. You're watching the RP Show, Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, it's our distinct pleasure to chat a little hockey on the RP Show today on this Tuesday edition. A couple of NHLers joining us, two proud Sasky boys who are joining us from Calgary here this morning. Cale Fleury of the Montreal Canadiens, he's in the bottom screen. Hayden Fleury of the Carolina Hurricanes, he's in the top screen. And they're residing in Cowtown right now where the mask mandate is on with their home safe and sound. And I'll start with you, Hayden. We'll just kind of pinball back and forth here. I'll get into the NHL bubble questions and all the rest. I just want to ask you, how's life been in Cowtown since you got out of the bubble and got back to normal as life is right now?
Yeah, if you could call that normal. I mean, the bubble seems like it was one thing, but you get out and you know, masks everywhere and all that kind of stuff. So I guess this is the new normal for now. So as long as the golf courses are open, I'm happy.
Yeah, no, and there's some beautiful ones out there. Cale, let me ask you, same story, of course, but it's a far cry from Carlisle. You guys said that you were both back there a couple weeks ago. We've lost Hayden, but no, the lights came out. There he is. Now he's back. Cale, you were back home in Carlisle. What's life like in Carlisle in the pandemic versus Calgary?
It's definitely a little bit more relaxed in Carlisle. I think maybe just less population there. So Calgary is kind of masked everywhere. And Carlisle, there wasn't really a mask scene.
I got to ask you
except
something.
Except for where we were at the rink. We were at the rink doing an autograph session.
Oh, good.
And
sorry.
And we were in rinks in there. That's the only time.
Cut out a little bit there. For me, my dad worked for the Dallas Stars for, I think it was 26 years. Brendan Morrow was the most famous guy to come out of Carlisle. And you guys are not making Carlisle forget about Brendan, but did you guys know him growing up? From what I understand, he kind of grew up in Carlisle, left, and hadn't been back a whole lot. I'll start with you, Cale. Do you know Brendan at all? What's his legacy in Carlisle?
I obviously knew about him growing up, but I was really young when we first lived in Carlisle. So Hayden would actually be a better guy to ask this, but he actually was our babysitter when we were younger. I can't remember anything of it, but yeah.
Hayden, what do you remember about Brendan Morrow then?
Yeah, he dated our cousin for a while, and you know, I was young, so I don't remember a ton about him. But my rookie season with the Canes, I got to I went to the rink, and the guys told me that I'm going to be doing the ceremonial puck drop, and he was dropping the puck, so I got to go out there with you know, him dropping it and Jamie Benn on the other side. It was pretty cool.
That's amazing. Do you have a picture of that?
I do, yeah. I got one saved on my phone.
Wow, that is. I'm glad I asked. Now, I'll start with you, Hayden, then we'll go to Cale. Carolina's playoff story. You swept the Rangers, which statistically the NHL's not counting because it wasn't a best of seven, but still a big deal. And then you lined up about Boston. Just take me through the whole Toronto bubble experience and the Canes playoffs.
You know what? It was a positive experience. Obviously, not the, you know, the result we wanted. You know, everyone kind of had written us off a little bit against the Rangers. They'd beaten us all four games in the regular season, but we hadn't kind of played them since the trades we made. So, you know, I think we played the hockey that we wanted to. I think we dominated that series. And then, you know, going against Boston, I think it was a lot closer than a 4-1 series. I mean, we had the, you know, the blow up in the third period. And, you know, even the final game, they get two power play goals and, you know, we can't get one by them. So, you know, that was, you know, I think it was a lot closer, but I think our team's just getting better, and I think we're only going to move forward from here.
It's very exciting for the future for Carolina, and I think it is for Montreal too, Cale. I gotta say, we had Mark Recchi on, Penguins assistant coach, before the playoffs, and he was nervous about you guys, and as it turns out, he had reason to be. And I got a lot of friends in Montreal, man. They thought you guys were going all the way. Obviously, you did too. I mean, you were there. You got a chance, right? What do you recall about the Stanley Cup playoffs for Montreal?
I think just our team went in with the mindset that anything can really happen, especially with the break that we had. And we had a pretty strong belief in the group of guys we had in the room. Obviously, with our backbone of Carey and Net, if he gets hot, really, you can beat any team in the league.
Back up to you, Hayden. So you guys were in the bubble together. We heard a little bit, like Ryan Murray joined us from his hotel room a couple of times. We had some players from the bubble. What was it like living in there, and did you bump into your little brother? Did you try to bump into your brother at any points? What was it like being sequestered away in downtown Toronto like that?
After the first 5 days, I think we saw each other a lot more. We went out for dinner a couple of times, and then he seemed to always be at the golf simulator. So whenever I was trying to get on the golf simulator, he was using it. So he's taking my time away from that. But no, he seen him as much as I can. And you know, the bubble was, I was really thankful we had such a close team with Carolina. We did have a lot of fun inside the bubble, which made it a lot more enjoyable. And, you know, it was just, you know, making the best of the situation.
Before we go to you, Cale. Hayden, what is your best score on the White Bear golf course? A Saskatchewan treasure, by the way. What's the best score you've carded there?
I think I shot 79 there when we went back this year, and that course does not suit my game at all. I do not like how tight that is. It is, it's one of the hardest golf courses I've ever played for being how short it is.
What about Kenosi then?
Kenosi, I played better. I was, I think, 76 there.
How about you, Cale? Are you, obviously, if you were hogging the golf simulator and wouldn't let your brother on it, you're serious about it too. What are your best scores on those two tracks?
I actually can't remember. I think on White Bear, it might have been low 80s. I think I was low 80s, like 81, 82 on White Bear. I don't have the privilege like Hayden where you can golf all year round in Carolina. So there's no winter golf in Montreal. That's my excuse.
Fair enough. I got to ask you this, just on the Tampa Bay-Dallas series. I'll ask you both, and I'll start with you, Cale. Could you imagine going this far? Obviously, you did imagine it because you wanted to win the Stanley Cup. But what are those players going through right now? I mean, you're watching the games. It seems like kind of a war of attrition to me. Your thoughts on going this far? And maybe do you have a prediction on how it's going to end?
I think it would be a grind just mentally being in the bubble for that long. Even just for the month or whatever we were there, it was kind of wearing down on some of the guys, just kind of the same routine every day. But I think when you have something that's motivating you that hard, like the Stanley Cup, obviously you're not going to be worried about that too much. And I think for a prediction, I like Tampa. It's a really skilled team. And my brother's buddy, Braden Point, is obviously a great player too, so we're kind of rooting for him.
Hayden, your thoughts on the Stanley Cup final and going all the way?
Yeah, I think you got to, you know, find a way to block out, you know, a lot of things going on in your life in order to focus on, you know, winning the ultimate prize in hockey. And, you know, for the two teams that are there, I mean, you know, Dallas has gone up against and been the underdogs in, what, two series, probably three series in a row now. People were writing them off, and they kept grinding. And, you know, I think that's kind of, you know, the emphasis that you got to put on just grinding every day and, you know, doing it for your teammates and for your brothers. And, but, no, I'm going to agree with Cale. I think, you know, I'm cheering for Pointer and, you know, Tampa Bay.
I'm going to stay on you, Hayden. You've both brought up the mental aspect of this. There's been very little coverage of what the teams are doing, other than like the Vegas Golden Knights put up photos of their movie nights or whatever. Did either one of your teams bring in a mental coach? Or does your team have one? I mean, how much was spent on the mental versus the physical? I'll start with you, Hayden.
We had done stuff before we went into the bubble, but once we got into the bubble, the NHLPA had a guy that was reaching out to players if they needed it to talk to you and if you needed it. And then, yeah, I think that was it. But, I mean, guys were talking amongst themselves on the team. And, you know, we have a very close group in Carolina that way. So, you know, if a guy needed to talk, there was 20 guys willing to listen.
How about you, Kale? What did Montreal do anything in that regard?
Kind of just the same thing as Carolina. Just you'd get the contact from the guy from the NHLPA if you needed it. And obviously, we know as a team, we can talk to each other and even the staff as well. If anything's going wrong like that, if you need any help or extra motivation, I guess. But yeah, there is nothing, no guy brought in or anything like that.
Producer Clark brought up the fact that you guys both played in Memorial Cups as host teams, and I'm going to get to that in a second. Red Deer for Hayden and Regina for Kale, but I had the pleasure of watching you both as juniors, and the one thing that stands up to me is the unbelievable smooth skaters that you guys are, particularly Hayden. You're no slouch yourself, Kale. Who do you guys credit for your skating ability? Because it's off the charts. Like, even in junior, you were skating like pros. Hayden, and you obviously heard that. What do you attribute that to?
I think training was a, you know, I was always a good skater. I think I started training with a good trainer named Tommy Powers when I was 16. And I think the off ice work really led on the ice, and you know, that's kind of where it started. And now it's kind of just something that I've been able to, you know, run with and, you know, have as a strength of my game. And I think, you know, Tommy's a big part of that.
How about you, Kale? Did you follow that exact same path, or what's your story? What do you attribute getting to the show as?
Oh, yeah, kind of same thing. For as long as I can remember, I've been training in the off seasons. I think started when I was like 12 years old. Obviously, being pretty serious at that young age, watching what my brother was going through as he was just about to make his entry into the WHL. I actually worked with Leanne Davies in Regina for a couple summers when I was younger as well, just power skating with her. And I actually skated with Jordan Wheel in that group when I was, I don't even know how old I would have been, but he was already in LA system, and I thought that was pretty cool.
It's very cool. And by the way, I always call him Gordon Wheel, because when he was a rookie in Calgary one night in the saddle and they were announcing him, Pat's goal scored by Gordon Wheel. So I called him Gordon his whole career. He actually smiles. He doesn't get mad. I saw something on Twitter the other day. Yeah, you call him Gordon next time you see him. Somebody said the Habs can't let Jordan Wheel get away. Is he a pending free agent? What does Wheeler mean to Montreal's future?
Wheeler's just the last guy off the ice every day at practice. Obviously, with the exception of the rookies picking up pucks. He's always just out there getting better. He's a great skater. He's a skill guy. He can put up points in the power play. He's just an extremely hard worker and a good guy. Can't really say enough good things about him.
Yeah, he is awesome. Super intense, I'll tell you this. I mean, as you know, you play with him, but I called him like a mini Jordan Eberle. Difference was Ebbs is always smiling and Wheeler's never smiling. He's just so intense all the time. For the Dub fans, Hayden, what do you recall about that Memorial Cup in Red Deer and hosting? I got to think that's a career highlight for you.
Yeah. You know, we actually played the Pats that year in the second round, and that went to seven games, kind of at the start of, you know, the run they made in the Dub for like 4 years, and then we ended up losing to Brandon. But, you know, after that 2 weeks of Brent Sutter practices, and you can imagine how those were, we went up against Marnes and the London Knights, and we lost like 6-2 or something, and it was just like, oh god, is this what we're in for 2 weeks? But I think, you know, that was kind of gave us a little kick in the butt, and after that we, you know, we actually played really good hockey for the rest of it, and we, you know, we came up against a hot goalie in the semifinals in the Quebec team. But no, the city of Red Deer was buzzing the whole year. It was, you know, right into our playoffs. It was awesome. And then coming out the first night of the Memorial Cup, sold out rink. It was so loud. It was a blast.
Red Deer's a special place, and man, are they missing WHL hockey right now? I mean, we all are, but I mean, Red Deer, shoot, they're like, what else is there to do? Regina kale. I was there for the first two games, and then I had to go away to Rough Rider camp, and it killed me because the Pats are my team. You made it all the way to the final and shut out by the Quebec team. What was a heck of a week, though? I mean, talk to me about what you remember from the 2018 Memorial Cup.
Yeah, I think we just kind of went in there with low expectations on us. We got eliminated in the first round, you know, up against a pretty stacked Swift Current team who ended up winning it. So we took them to game seven, I believe. And then we had a full month of just two-a-day workouts and skating and just a grind. We were just doing everything we could to get better during that time and stay in shape. And then I think it paid off at the end. We were pretty good in the Mem Cup, obviously making the finals, but then kind of the same situation as Hayden, just ran into a really hot goalie.
Yeah, it was a tough time. Interesting, by the way, it was Acadie Bathurst, right, who ended up finishing dead last the next year. But that's junior hockey. That's hockey. I'll just ask you this, guys, as we wrap it up. Hayden, what's next for you guys? You see the commissioner saying that there's going to be a season, but they don't know when. How do you train for that? How do you live your life? Do you have any inside info for next season? Like, what are you looking at right now?
I was hoping you had inside info for us.
Sorry.
You seem to be the guy. No, I'm going to go back to North Carolina here in the coming month and start working with our team's skills coach and strength coach and, you know, just get ready and get sharp. And, you know, when the season does happen, just be ready and just, you know, enjoy the, you know, the city down there in Raleigh. It's a great place to live. It's a really special place to play. And, you know, I'm just, you know, just kind of waiting and seeing just like everyone else.
Hey, if you run into or heard of any Hurricanes fans here in Sasky, by the way, I know one. Have any reached out to you or do you know of any?
There was a guy in Swift Current. I forget his name. He would tweet at me sometimes. I think it was something Cote. His last name was Cote. He would always, I think he would always come to games and stuff. So he's a, you know, a Canes fan, but I always joke that the Canes jerseys are sold out all over Canada. So that's where
they are. It's our secret. The guy I know is in Estevan. So there are two, but you guys go deep and there'll be a lot more. Kale, no doubt, you know how many Habs fans there are here in Saskatchewan. I don't even need to ask you that question. What's your outlook? Same as your brothers, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to be staying in Calgary for the most part. I do have the option to go to Montreal as well. Just to, whenever we find out when camp is, I'll probably end up going about a month early just to kind of ramp up the intensity a little bit, just to try to get as ready for the season as possible. But yeah, for the most part, just staying in Calgary.
Before I let you go, producer Clark has just said in my ear, can you ask Kale what Shea Weber has meant to his development? And if anyone has meant a lot to Hayden. So current NHLers, we'll start with you, Kale. The question was Shea Weber. Who in the NHL has helped you out the most?
Shea Weber is just an incredible defenseman. Doing what he is, doing at his age right now, and still like, one of the top defensemen in the league. Obviously, he's got his hand of a shot that I get to see in practice every day. Sometimes I'm killing penalties in practice, kind of just got to get out of the way and let the goalie see it. Yeah, I think just watching him, even just off the ice too, he's just a machine in the gym. He's always top fitness testing, and he's just a really good role model to look up to. He's a great guy.
How about you, Hayden? Who showed you the ropes the most in the NHL?
I would say Justin Williams, probably. You know, we've become really close off the ice. We're both belong to the same golf course, so there's been a lot of, you know, moments there, but at the rink, he's always on me. He's always telling me, let's go, let's do that. So, no, he's been a, you know, a big influence, to me in my career. And, you know, I'm very grateful for the friendship that we have. And, you know, I'm just wishing him all the best.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, what you're doing's working. So I appreciate the time today. You guys are both so much fun to watch. You've been following your careers closely. So proud of you very much for all of us from Saskatchewan. Keep it rolling. Stay safe and hope to see you on the ice soon.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Carlisle's Hayden and Cale Fleury joining us from Calgary here this morning. We're going to take a timeout and be right back with a sports update. You're watching the RP Show across North America on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Just a quick check of the Facebook Live board. Brady in Saskatoon says, Cale Fleury's getting the rock star of the day hat. Are we allowed to give out two hats in one day? Maybe. Let's go out to Toronto now, and I appreciate Jim Lang for listening through that, although Clark said he got a bit of a chuckle out of some of the comments. There he is. How you doing, Jimbo?
Yeah. I'm good, Rod. Those guys are beauties. I really enjoyed that conversation.
Couple of good old Sasky hockey boys right there. And I said to my wife last night, showed her a picture of those two guys. I said, do you think the ladies like them in Calgary? She's like,
Well, you know what I found was interesting for both players is because of the uncertainty of the upcoming NHL season, Gary Bettman was not even committal in the Stanley Cup final when it actually will start. And Adam Silver in the NBA has been the same. They say, we think early 2021, right? There's been no like, hey, this is the date we're starting. So they're like, well, if we find out what camp is, we're going to go to our respective cities a month early, and we might as well work out and get in extra good shape because a lot of the players, this is so weird. The next week is the draft and free agency, and then you could have all the rest of October, November into December, no hockey, and then waiting for camp, and then you have Christmas and New Year, and sometime in September starting the NHL season. It's really uncharted territory for the players and teams to prepare for next year. It's still, we are in weird times.
Well, it's actually literally scary, too, when you think about it, because think about New Jersey and San Jose, L.A., Anaheim. They haven't played since March 12th.
No. And I know some guys in those teams, and like they're trying to work out the best they can, but potentially you're talking about 8-9 months between a real game. That's unheard of.
Absolutely unheard of. Pandemic times. Now, Jim, the reason we brought you on was Blue Jays, actually. I said to Clark, we need somebody that can speak on the Blue Jays. And Jim, for those that don't know, was the morning man on Sportsnet 650. What is it? The 590. Sorry, Fan 590. They jumbled it all up, as you know. But anyways, Canada's original all sports talk station. So you're used to talking Blue Jay. So how monumental is it? Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, it's nice. They're in the playoffs for the first time in 4 years, but in an expanded playoffs. Now, the Blue Jays are, I don't know how to describe it. There's some days they look like they can conquer the world. They're beating the Yankees 12-1. And then the next day, they will lose 14-1. They have these incredible, exciting kids like Biggio and Bichette and Guerrero Jr. And I think the future is amazing. And then outside of a couple of pitchers, you better have a strong stomach because they're going to give up runs. And that's why I think a lot of people, including myself, don't quite understand why Charlie Montoyo wouldn't go with the ace of the staff to kick off this series against Tampa this afternoon when Tampa's the number one seed in the American League. They've got a really good pitching staff, and you're going with a guy who's just coming off an injured list who really doesn't have much of a resume this year to start the series. Why not go with your best? It's a 2 out of 3. I mean, you're basically potentially starting the series down 0-1 before you go to your best pitcher. And then Tampa's going to throw an outstanding pitcher of their own in game two. I just don't understand the reasoning behind it.
Well, you've heard what he said, obviously. I don't necessarily agree. He says, we got to get creative. It's one more day's rest. Matt Shoemaker's 4-0 lifetime against Tampa Bay. But I don't like much of what I'm hearing out of Blue Jaysville, Jim, in that they're saying no matter what happens, the season's a success. Montoyo has said, hey, the Rays have 4 aces. We have 1. It's like they're beaten before there's even the first pitch is thrown.
Well, yeah, if you use your ace in game one and you win, it's you got a 1-0 lead in the best 2 out of 3. And then Tampa's the number one seed. All the pressure's on them. So I don't know. It's just because you made the playoffs in an expanded playoffs is not an accomplishment. It's nice. We'll see. It's great. But, I mean, the Blue Jays have a long way to go before they can get too excited about this kind of accomplishment. Make the playoffs in a regular year, that's different.
Okay, well, yours and my good friends, Tony Ambrosio and Michael Landsberg, have both said exactly that. Huge step forward for the Shapiro-Atkins regime, no matter what happened. So you're just not, you're like me, you're not going along with that.
No, I mean, it's a step forward. I'm not going to deny that they're on the right track, but I'm not going to start around driving around Southern Ontario, honking my horn and pumping my fist going, yeah, we made the playoffs. We're a long way from that.
Okay, now,
you find a way to beat Tampa. Like, well, wait a second. Maybe they got something going here. But, I'm just kind of like, we'll see what happens, because there'll be millions of second guesses for Charlie Montoyo if this blows up in their face this afternoon by not starting the guy they spent all the money, who was far and away the best player all year in the first game of the postseason, when he's got plenty of rest. He doesn't need an extra day.
By the way, I just got an image of you driving around honking your horn with Blue Jay with a banner and a finger. I just saw it.
Yeah.
But by the way, Charlie Montoyo did get the Jays into the playoffs, so we got to let him coach the team, and we'll see.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Give him the benefit of the doubt. I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so, pardon me. Brady in Saskatoon just has a burr under his saddle. That's a Western term, Jim, but
okay,
you can imagine what it means. He's just all over me. He wants to know, and I couldn't give him an answer, so he's asking you, why are the Ravens higher than the Seahawks in ESPN's power rankings? It's just driving him nuts.
I'm with him. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, the Seahawks have been great. Russell Wilson has 14 touchdowns in three games. I mean, you got Mahomes, you got Wilson. It's 1-1A, and you could probably argue which one is which. And so the Ravens are 0-3 against KC in the last couple of years against Patrick Mahomes. They're a very good team, but they had no answer for the Chiefs offensively or defensively. And other than that kick return for the touchdown, the Duvernay, you're like, they didn't do much. They do not deserve to be ahead of Seattle. No chance. I'm with him. I don't understand the thinking behind that.
You know, big picture on everything, because we could go through and ask you about every single team and you'd have a take. But what are your thoughts on this? We're 16-game regular season. The Cowboys should be 3-0. They're not. They're 1-2. They've blown two games. And I, on one side of me is saying they had no preseason. They're figuring things out. On the other side of me is we're almost a quarter of the way through the year. You know, it's the NFL. There isn't time to get caught up. So do you think things will shift, seismographically here, or what you have is what you have?
For Dallas particularly, or the rest of the league?
Everybody.
Well, I mean, right now, Atlanta's Atlanta. They can't hold a lead. I mean, how can you go to that facility every day as a player and start a game and think, even if we have a lead in the fourth quarter, we're not going to blow it? I mean, they are second in the NFL in points scored, number two, and they're 0-3. So that's what you think. You are what your record says you are, in the words of Bill Parcells used to say.
And John Lynch.
When he coached the Giants. And yeah, John Lynch, right. So the weird thing about Dallas, you mentioned Dallas. They're a good team. And then this morning, Jerry Jones was on a local radio station openly questioning Dak, basically saying, you know, He wouldn't have made that play that Mahomes made or Russell Wilson made to win those games. And like, you're on Dallas, Texas, of all cities, openly questioning your starting quarterback that he can't make plays like a Patrick Mahomes. You're 3 weeks into the season. That's not exactly team building. And, you know, I mean, I'll take Dak over a lot of other quarterbacks in the NFL. And yeah, it hasn't all worked out, but it isn't all his fault. But that's where, I can see teams emerging and developing, you know, sense of who they are. I think the Buffalo Bills, I mean, it's excellent. And everyone's saying, well, they've only played this team and that team. And you're playing who's on your schedule. And the Rams are a good team, and they had to score a late touchdown to beat the Rams. So, yeah, and that's the big part of it. That's the one thing about the NFL that more than any of their leagues, you know, got 16 games. So now Tennessee and Minnesota have got real issues. In Tennessee today, they announced that 3 players and 5 personnel tested positive for COVID, but they're asymptomatic, so that's good. But how many of those players will be in the lineup for the upcoming game this weekend? And I think, yeah, they're playing the Steelers. So you'll need everyone to hang with the Steelers right now, because the Steelers are looking really good. And then the Vikings, they've got their issues to start the season. Who's going to be in the lineup? And that's That's like all sports teams now and all sports in the world, Rod, is COVID. In some weeks, you won't have some of your players in the lineup because of COVID, and you have to wait till they get medical clearance to play again. And so that's but there's some teams that emerge right now. I mean, I don't care where you rank Seattle in the ESPN Power Rankings. They are a fantastic football team. And Russell Wilson, I mean, I didn't think he could play better than he has, but this is the best he's ever played. I mean, he's making some plays and throws that are phenomenal. Patrick Mahomes toyed with Baltimore last night. Underhand shovel pass, throwing a touchdown to a lineman. I mean, he was making up ways to score touchdowns, and he made it look easy against Baltimore. And that's where, if I'm the rest of the league, I'm going, uh-oh. I thought Kansas City was good. I didn't know they were that good, and they are really good.
Oh, they're better than last year. By the way, just on the Cowboy thing, that's Jerry, the owner, and the GM talking, because Dak is franchise tagged this year, and if you want to be paid like the big dogs, you got to play like the big dogs, and he's not. I'm with Jera. And Brian Eitnauer writes that he says, Rod, you say they should be 3-0. Some would say they should be 0-3 because the only game they won, they had it handed to them. They came back from 20 points down, and they were smart to onside kick at the end of the game. No, they should be 3-0. Sorry. Jem, last one on this is, yeah. Sorry, you had a point? You had a point?
No, go ahead.
Okay, just how potentially detrimental or fatal is it for the CFL that they're not playing this year? Because we out in Western Canada have really no idea what the Eastern Canadian viewpoint is of pro football. I've seen the Angus Reid polls that the NFL is more popular in Ontario, Quebec, and the Maritimes. Just how dangerous is this that there's no CFL this year?
It's not just there's no CFL that's dangerous. There's no talk of it. There's no presence of the league, of the commissioner. I mean, I've said it before. I mean, considering everything going on, the NHL's over. And after next week, there's the draft and free agency. The rest of October, November, nothing. There might be some hockey. There's no games. You know, the NBA is going to be done in about 10 days, and there's no games. So, I mean, whoever is running the CFL, whoever making the calling the shots and making decisions, they should be calling up, emailing every format, every news, talk show, sports talk show, music, I don't care what their format is, country music, whatever, get out there. Talk, show you up, like, have some presence. They don't exist right now in Southern Ontario. And that's the scary thing. It's like they are completely forgotten. No one says, oh, there's no CFL. There's a few diehards, Rod, but I mean, for the future, the league, I mean, it's one thing to not be there, but to be forgotten the way they are, that's not good. And they've got to find a way to wedge their way a foot in the door of the sports community in Canada again, because I mean, there's lots of talk about, you know, junior hockey and international sports and the NFL, but the CFL, they can't just assume that they've been around a long time. Everyone's going to come back with open arms. They've got to work for their place in the sports marketplace. I mean, they've got a lot of work to do, and I don't understand why they're not working harder just to get out there and get on the air, get in print, do whatever they can to be written about or talked about in any way.
Boom. And the thing is, a lot of the decision makers want it this way. They want it to go dark. A lot of the high profile people in the league don't agree with this strategy, but they're not the ones making the decisions on this. By the way, Brian continues, just says, Peterson, you remind me a lot of other Cowboy fans. They're always the greatest, and they should never lose a game. And if they do, it's because of the refs or they give it away. Exactly. America's team. Okay, Jim. Enjoy the Blue Jays and don't get an accident out there when you're, you know, woo! Love it. Exactly. I can see it. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, guys. See you.
Jim Lang in Southern Ontario. Love that guy. We'll be back with Overtime and a sports update. It's the RP Show. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Here we go. It's overtime. I told you everybody was just in a giddy mood today, which is great. It's been a long time since that's been the case. You know? And you know what? I said to Darren, I want to do our best to stick to sports today. Not get into the COVID stuff. Jeff in Calgary, the Stamps fan, says the Cowboys are so overrated every year. Yes, we are. But I watch ESPN every day, and I tell Darren this. That get up, which this show in a lot of ways has been modeled after. I just love it so much on ESPN. They talk about the Cowboys every day. You understand there's 31 other NFL teams. How many Major League Baseball teams are there? 30? 32 NHL teams. They only talk about the Cowboys on the main network. They're America's team. And by the way, it's all just marketing. Have you watched the documentary on America's Team or the football life on America's Team? It was just marketing. It was the late 70s. And the football guys with the Cowboys, Coach Landry, the head scout, Gil Brandt.
Yep.
The GM, Tex Schramm. Well, Tex Schramm was kind of behind it. But the football guys didn't like it.
Of course not.
They hated it.
They want anonymity. Under the radar. Let us do our thing. It's just another game. Just another day.
And that can't fly. Thank you for that. Because I've been fighting. I don't want to name who the coaches are. George Cortez. Who, if it was up to them, would just play in an empty stadium every week. You know the coaches are loving this.
Oh, yeah.
The media's away. And it's not that they don't like the fans. The media is a major annoyance. They don't like the media. But the fans, the coaches don't notice there's no fans, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
They love the fans. They love all of that when they score and when they win. Because it helps, you know, the motion. And they love it. Look at John Cooper. He was a rock star last night. But during the game, stay the hell away, right? No, I don't want any of that. They don't want any distractions.
Right. And thanks. Nelson's watching, our VP of Sim Events. He says, get up, daily schedule. Cowboys, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, touch on basketball, touch on baseball, and speed through the rest of the NFL. Nelson watches it too. Every damn day, they're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. And but this morning, I'm watching this going, they're not even mentioning baseball. It's supposed to be America's pastime. They're not even mentioning it's the opening day of the Major League Baseball playoffs.
Because mm-hmm.
It's all about the NFL. Bum, bum, bum. Jeff in Calgary says, is that Chewbacca on Rod's shirt? No, this is the Newfoundland Growlers, defending East Coast Hockey League champions. And I'm going to say it's East Coast Hockey League, even though they only call it ECHL.
Looks like the dog that we were all scared of as kids that was on the other side of the fence in the sandlot.
Yeah. They sent it to me to wear. Remember that thing when teams used to send me stuff to wear? Now there's nobody in their friggin' merchandise stores. Chris Bird says, Bills, 3-0, fact or fantasy? Well, Chris, if you're a Bills fan and you watch that game against the Rams, they are for real. And I think it's awesome. I was reading a story on the weekend that they have not been this excited in upstate New York or western New York about a team since the Jim Kelly days. And I say good on them, man, because it's been a lot of crap for them. Sports update. The Blue Jays have included slugger Rowdy Tellez on the team's 28-man roster for their best-of-three wildcard series against the Tampa Bay Rays. The first baseman hasn't played since suffering a right knee strain 3 weeks ago. Tellez was activated from the 10-day injured list Monday. Series opens today at the Trop. The NFL's Tennessee Titans have shut down their practice facility until Saturday after 8 positive coronavirus tests, putting Sunday's game against the Pittsburgh Steelers in jeopardy. The Titans confirmed today that 3 players and 5 staff members have tested positive for COVID-19. And one of the oldest annual hockey tournaments in ice hockey has been canceled due to the COVID-19. Organizers of the Spangler Cup, held annually in Davos, Switzerland, during the December holidays, made the announcement today. The invitational tournament was first played in 1923. Canada is, of course, the defending champion. The sports updates for the Tap Brewhouse and drive-through liquor store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina. I was there for lunch on Friday. I highly recommend it. Had the buffalo chicken wrap.
Ooh.
And 2 bowls of soup. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, the best you'll ever have with 7 amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. Mandy in Edmonton says, thank you for this 2-hour escape from my life. Great show as always. Thank you. It's an escape for us too. Believe that. We tried to stay as much COVID-free today as we could, brush on all these sports topics. I'll say this, what's going on in the CFL is just so darn ugly, I almost don't even want to talk about it. It's ugly. But what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And the hockey stuff. Hey, we'll be fine. Go Blue Jays, go. Tomorrow we'll be... what?
No, no, keep going, and then just give me a minute.
Okay, tomorrow we'll be talking about the Blue Jays win over Tampa Bay. Our opening night win in the Great Western Slow Pitch League at Ballers Rec Room tonight. Tomorrow on the show, NHL insider, Columbus Blue Jackets pro scout Rich Sutter. Stefan Joystick Logan, CFL great, NFL alum. And our director of scouting, Craig Smith, going to talk about week four in the NFL. What do you got?
Clark, you got the photo?
I heard he said I got it. And then I heard him say, nope.
So that's a hard no?
He says no.
Okay. Go to our Twitter page.
Because, at Rod Peterson Show.
At Rod Peterson Show on Twitter, or you can go to rodpetersonshop.com. There's a pre-order item now available. I wish we had the photo to show because it is available and we can talk about it tomorrow.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Clark found it. Way to go, Clark.
So these hoodies are in. T-shirts are going in as well. There's going to be a hoodie and a T-shirt with the same design just to appease different price points. And as you can see there, there's the T-shirt. Perfect. The proceeds are supporting the recovery and the rehab of Joe Craig Jr., who was on this show last week. And the message, faith, love, positivity, and strength. That's what Joe said on this program when he asked everybody to walk a mile for him. A mile is four laps of the track, and that's one lap for each of those things. Faith, love, positivity, and strength. They look great. They're available. All the proceeds that we raise will go towards supporting Joe. So they're available, rodpetersonshop.com, and we put the link up on our Twitter page just now.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
And obviously Joe will be in support of that too. Jeff the Stamps fan says soup du jour. That's soup of the day. That sounds good. I'll have that.
And Joe is on board. He said he wants a T-shirt and a hoodie.
He's got to pay for it. I'm joking. See you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain on Game Plus and right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.